أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نويت الأربعين، نويت الاعتكاف، نويت الخلوة، نويت العزلة، نويت الرياضة، نويت السلوك لله تعالى العظيم في هذا المسجد. In the previous session we were discussing the issue of smoking. Grand Sheikh said that Sayyidina Abu Ahmad al-Shuhuri, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power of Qutbaniya, to be Qutb. These are five Qutbs: Qutb, Qutb al-Bilad, Qutb al-Irshad, Qutb al-Mutasarrif, Qutb al-Aqtab. Five Qutbs, five pillars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the power over everything, inheriting from Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said Abu Ahmad al-Sughuri, one of the great sheikhs of the Naqshbandi order, he was Qutb for 40 years. He carried that responsibility. And we are not explaining here the level of Qutb or what it means, but in short, it depend on what kind of Qutb. There are five Qutbs. What kind of Qutb he is, so everything under that comes into his responsibility. Like Qutb al-Irshad, for example, is the one, the wali, that through him Awliya Allah receive, the rest of Awliya Allah receive guidance, and from them to their student. That is Irshad. Qutb al-Mutasarrif, if we explain about Qutb al-Mutasarrif, means the one who is under his hand is what everyone does in this world. He is monitoring, and he is monitoring on everything that goes on. Give it to Awliya Allah, and from Awliya Allah to their student. So this is a very summarized explanation that what these Qutbs, they can do, and we can explain in the future more detail about that. He said Sayyidina Abu Ahmad al-Shuhuri that he was Qutb for 40 years, that the worst that you can imagine in this world, because people don't know what is behind everything, they think everything is okay. But he said the worst that you can imagine is the plant of, that plant of smoke, of cigarettes, tobacco plant. It carries the dirtiness of Iblis and his devils. So it is blended with the dirtiness of Iblis and his devils, that people who are smoking, as if they are smoking that dirtiness and that bad behaviors of Iblis and his devils. And he said, Abu Ahmad al-Shuhuri says, "Oh my children, you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He provided us and He gave us ni'mah, favors azaliyah, pre-eternal and post-eternal, azaliyah wa abadiyah, that this favor that Allah gave us from eternal to post-eternal, that you Naqshbandi students, you never لم تتعودوا على الدخان. You never become addicted to smoking. Now, might be some people, they smoke and then they quit because they know the danger of it. So he is saying that you're not becoming addicted. So those who are becoming addicted to smoking, they have to quit or else they are under that curse. Allah cursed Iblis. That curse is coming through that also plant. Whoever is smoking it, he is receiving some kind of a bad manner, like bad manner of not saying the truth, always backbiting people, because Iblis was backbiting, inspiring bad things to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. It's going to be very tough, but I have to say what Maulana said. He said that whoever smokes cigarettes and does not quit and make intention to quit, فَصَلَاتُهُ بَاطِلَةً. His prayers are not accepted, because he is smoking the smell of Iblis and coming and praying. Angels cannot approach him to take take that good amal of prayer, to take it and send it to paradise, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot approach that person because they cannot smell that stinky smell that comes from those people who are smoking. So for that, that's why it makes that prayer as if not accepted. He said not only his prayer is not accepted, all his amal, all his deeds in dunya that he is doing is not accepted, and he has to repeat his prayers over hellfire. Hellfire has a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how, but like for example, you have a floor of iron, and under it fire. It's burning, so the iron is all of it what? Very hot. So you are going to pray your prayers over back another time, repeating them until they finish all your prayers that you have prayed with when you were smoking. And to those who missed their prayers and they didn't make it back, they are going to pray all their prayers on that cover that it is off over hellfire. So it's going to burn all their foreheads, their hands, their feet, wherever they are touching is going to be burning. So it is better to, for those that did not pray or they didn't when they were young, it's better that they, with every prayer, they pray one prayer from previous prayer, make intention. Yet, Ya Rabbi, I missed these prayers. I was young, I didn't know what I was doing. I will pray them with every prayer. I will pray one prayer. By this way you can save yourself. Even if you did not finish and you died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. According to your intention you will be giving. So you will be saving yourself from praying on hellfire. He said, those who are smoking are different. They have to pray their prayers in hellfire, and Allah has to send them in hellfire, burn them completely, because dukhan, smoking, tobacco, burn completely, become like ashes. So it has to burn completely your body, and then create you another time and send you to paradise. So people are going to feel that burning. People are going to feel that difficult heat, that they are going to be burned when they are going to not to quit that kind of that cigarette. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to send him to hellfire to make him ashes. Then he will recreate him another time, and then he will send him to paradise. This is the natija, the result of smoking. Oh my children, don't try to لا تعودوا أولادكم على الدخان.
Do not make your children accustomed to smoking.
Don't make your children accustomed to smoking. If you had a child or a daughter, a boy or a daughter, make sure that he or she not smoking, or else you are going to be responsible. He said when a child becomes 15 years of age, his blood begin to boil. His blood is boiling inside for doing anything that is not good. So these children, he said, don't give them any kind of leadership. Don't give them to control you, your work, or control you, or control their mothers. Teach them respect. Teach them how to behave, or else you will not anymore be able to control them. They will run away. He said, we run, we get tired all our lives to make sure that our children after us will live a decent life. He said, it's not worth it. Don't do that. Because children, when they grow up, only what they're thinking, when is my father or my mother is going to die in order that I will take responsibility of their wealth and their money. All their mind is to get rid of you in order that you will be able to inherit everything from you. And this is in some children, they have that in their mind. When my father or my mother will die, I will inherit the house, I will inherit the car, I will inherit their bank accounts. Isn't that? They know nothing. They are retarded people. They are awkward. They are from Stone Age. I'm modern. I know everything. My mother doesn't know anything. My father doesn't know anything. What they have to give me? Opinion. I will take my own opinion by myself. I want to be independent. You don't find that? Mm-hmm. Especially when they become 16. All their minds is how they are going to be in the dorm and to be independent in the college or university. They don't want to stay with their parents because they want to live their own life. This is their minds. They prepare them to think like that. And they want to run away from the family. They don't know with the family there is barakah. At least they are safe from shaitan because the family can look after their safety. But in the dorms or they have roommates, they rent apartments and they have roommates, you don't know what they are doing in these apartments. Smoking marijuana or smoking cigarettes. Is that? Drinking also. You were not here. No, you were here this morning. Everyone wants to live his no obligations. He wants to live wild life. That's why you see the third world countries, they are more successful in their social lives than countries that they are so giving freedom so much to children. You see the children, if you do statistics, you see in these countries where there is a lot of freedom for children, you don't find, the percentage will be very, very low, how many of them are educated. But in the third world life, all the focus of people is how will their children get their high school, from high school to college to university, to finish their studies, to marry, and to establish a life, isn't it?
No, I'm sorry.
Opposite to countries where they give a lot of freedom. Then you don't, you still see people studying when they are 60 years of age. I say, well, you are studying. We want to make PhD. We want to make our masters. Now at 60 years of age, there are people 60 years of age, they go study. So I like to go study also. Maybe get something. So he said, don't be, for Allah's sake, he said, don't be very soft and don't be under the control of shaitan, but be strong facing shaitan. And discipline your children, because then they, you will save them from falling into this smoking problem and this behavior, like many people are misbehaving today. He said, if you have a secret, don't tell it to anyone. Because then you are not sure when they will have the hook.
Expose you.
Allah, Allah. Then he speaks about, I will skip that. He says something that later we can discuss it, inshallah, about the origin of that plant of Dukhan. He said, everything comes from ananiya, selfishness, and jealousy. He said, toward the murshid, it is not acceptable for the murid to say to the murshid, no. Never. لا يجوز أن يقول المريد للمرشد لا. There is no permission to say to the murshid, no. Because if you say no, if the murshid tell you to do this and you say no, or say something to you and say no, then you are disobeying what Allah has ordered you to obey, those who are on authority. Atiyu Allah, atiyu Rasul, wa amri minkum. And when the murshid is, you are disobeying the murshid feels bad. A shame in the presence of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, look, your students are not listening to what you are saying. They're coming against your decisions. And he said, your children must not say to you no. They have to accept whatever you say. I'm skipping also. He said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The master of, yani the leader of the people is the one who serve them. الذي يخدم عباد الله هو سيد القوم. The one who serves the people of Allah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Sayyid al-Qawm. He is considered as if he is the highest in level, because he, out of love, he is serving everyone, giving good face to everyone, laugh, smiling to everyone, joking with everyone, feeding everyone, never getting upset with anyone. So that person whose people, who are people loving him and running after him, is he treats the student very well. They would be happy with him. That is the Sayyid al-Qawm. That is the master of that group. And he said, Awliyaullah, they follow the footsteps of Sahaba to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba is, as Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sahabati kan nujum, bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. That hadith, Tahir, that is an authentic hadith. Not as they say, no. Yesterday I was looking at Iqra channel, and one of these big scholars that they come from Saudi Arabia was quoting that hadith. Sahabati kan nujum bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahaba is like stars. With any stars you follow, you will find your way. Means awliyaullah, they inherit from sahaba that light. So anyone you follow of awliyaullah, you will be guided. All awliya Allah have secrets. It varies, their secrets, but all of them, they have secrets that they inherited from Sahaba and from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they will guide their students to whatever they need to be guided. So follow that track, follow these awliya, because they show you the way. Because they are Asyadul al-Qawm. They are the leaders and they are the masters, that they lead you to eternal life, show you the way of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he's a prophet. And he asked Sayyidina al-Khidr, to accompany him. And Mawlana say here that Sayyidina al-Khidr is a waliullah. He's not like Sayyidina Musa. And Sayyidina al-Khidr, what he said to Sayyidina Musa, you cannot accompany, it's difficult. He said, by Allah's permission, I will follow you and I will work and I will accompany you. And you know the story of Sayyidina al-Khidr and Sayyidina Musa, how he tried to sink the ship, open a hole in it, and then killing the child and then building the wall. And Sayyidina al-Khidr was not, Sayyidina Musa was not able to take that, because he was not understanding what is the wisdom behind it. What Allah gave Sayyidina al-Khidr did not give Sayyidina Musa. What Allah gave Sayyidina Musa did not give Sayyidina al-Khidr. And that's why awliyaullah, what Allah gave that wali did not give that wali, and what gave this wali did not give that wali. That's why we have to be very careful in understanding differences between awliya. Don't balance and then don't evaluate.
Compare.
Don't compare awliyas. It's not your business. Your business, you take one, you follow. Don't compare them. Don't try to say this one is better and that one is less. If you begin to say this one is less, this one is higher, or this one is higher, this one is less, you are disturbing the balance. Our duty is to accept and follow. Allah knows best. There was a very big scholar in Madinatul Munawwara. His name is Diya Afandi. And the people of Medina and people of Makkah, from ulama, from scholar, always they visit him and they respect him. When Maulana was in seclusion in Medina, and Grand Sheikh Sheikh Abdullah Daghestani and Maulana Sheikh Nazim, they were there for 9 months making seclusion. Diya Afandi came to visit Maulana Sheikh, that scholar, and Grand Sheikh said to him, "Oh my Sheikh, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give to Sayyidina Musa what he gave to Sayyidina al-Khidr of that knowledge?" And that alim said, that everyone respect in Medina and Mecca, "I don't know." Whenever someone speaks, listen. That's Grand Sheikh said. Whenever someone opens his mouth to speak, listen. Then you get wisdom. And he said, "I was listening to the answer of Diya Afandi, that scholar, and I was listening, and it didn't make sense to me that scholar say, 'I don't know.'" And he said, "Ya Diya Afandi, you are reading hadith, and you are advising people, and people respect you because of your knowledge, and how you cannot have understanding why Sayyidina Musa was not given what Sayyidina al-Khidr has, and what Sayyidina al-Khidr was not given, why Sayyidina al-Khidr was having that knowledge that Sayyidina Musa didn't have?" "Ya Diya Afandi," he's teaching Grand Sheikh, "how many of ahadith Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said? Hundreds of thousands. All of them, they go under one. Under one hadith, all of them they go. And the one who is giving, who is being given wisdom, will understand that. Those who are not given wisdom, they cannot understand what is the difference between the ilm that Sayyidina Musa took and the ilm that Sayyidina al-Khidr took. If you don't have wisdom, of course you are not going to see the difference." Ya Diya Afandi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Musa what he gave Sayyidina al-Khidr, never Sayyidina Musa would have objected and Sayyidina al-Khidr would have released this information. Sayyidina Musa in the Holy Quran, all the Holy Quran from beginning to end, he is the only prophet that was asking questions that were not, he was not understanding Allah's behavior and Allah's plans and Allah's will on dunya. He was not understanding. He was always asking, "Ya Rabbi this, Ya Rabbi what is this, Ya Rabbi what is this, Ya Rabbi what is this." in order to teach us hikmah from Holy Quran. If Musa did not ask questions, no one would have understood anything. Because of his questions, answers came, and because of these answers, we learned what we learned from Holy Quran. That's why Allah did not give Sayyidina Musa the knowledge behind everything. That's why he was keeping asking questions, for Allah to open for us the answers, to give us the answers, Or else no one would know, knew anything. All these oceans of knowledges that Allah has mentioned in Holy Quran came because of Sayyidina Musa asking questions. Because of his question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened lot of knowledges in the Holy Quran. For that reason, he was not giving that kind of knowledge, or else he would have kept quiet. And no one would have known anything. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never opened his mouth asking questions because he was shy from his Lord. Allah gave him that perfection. He didn't give that to Sayyidina Musa. Allah gave Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addabani rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi. Allah perfected my manners. You are of the highest excellence, excellent characters. He didn't give to Sayyidina Musa. If he gave to Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Musa would never ask a question. So he left Sayyidina Musa without that. So he was asking questions. That's why people today ask questions to know answers. If you to follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you submit, you keep quiet. What comes, comes. Ummatul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave them a container in their hearts that Allah always filling it from the wisdom that comes out of the heart of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a fountain, like a falls, like in waterfalls. Only by your obedience these veils will be opened. You will get this information from your heart. You don't need to ask any question. But we are asking questions because we are in darkness. We are not trying to take these veils away. Through wisdom and through hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the Holy Quran. No one can, no one is able, no one from prophets other than Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can enter in the ocean of Holy Quran, in these oceans of knowledges, and bring them out except Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at his, and look at Prophet's humbleness. He say, "Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin wa la aqalla min dhalik." Oh Allah, don't leave me to my ego for a blink of an eye. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Don't leave me to myself for a blink of an eye." All of us, that's Prophet, perfect one, no sins, nothing. He said, "Don't leave to myself, don't leave me to myself." All of us, we are left to ourselves. That's why fights comes. That's why problems comes. That's why difficulties comes. May Allah protect us. Amen. And prevent us from falling into these sins and these mistakes. Amen. We are weak, what we can do. So for those who are smoking, make intention that you quit. And for those who miss their prayers, make intention you do them with every prayer another prayer. And for those who did not fast previously in Ramadan when they were wild, they can count how many Ramadans they missed, and because they did, I can say the hard one and the easy one. The hard one is they intentionally they did not fast. So for every day they did not fast, they have to fast 60 days in a row for every day. So if they cannot fast 60 days in a row, they can feed 60 poor in a row. If they cannot feed 60 poor in a row, because they don't have, then Allah will forgive them. One of the Sahaba came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot fast 60 days. He said, okay, give 60 poor, feed 60 poor. He said, I cannot, I don't have money. He said, okay, take that money and go. So every day, every Ramadan, if you cannot fast, you have to feed 60 per day. So 30 days by 60, how many? 1,800 meals. It's going to be tough. Multiply by how many years? Then you make calculation. Some scholars, they say 2 meals. But you can do in every Ramadan, you can make one Ramadan to feed the people. You cannot feed them, give them money for that. 1 meal is $5. So 60 meal is $300. You give that for every Ramadan, with another Ramadan, until you finish them. 10 Ramadans, you did not fast when you were wild, especially in the West, a lot of the Muslims, they lose their Ramadan, they don't fast, so try to cover it with that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and will guide us toward His way. We don't want to fast Ramadan in hellfire. So we want to clean our mistakes in this dunya first. May Allah forgive us. Wa min Allahi tawfiq bi hurmati al-Fatiha. I skipped around 4 pages. Inshallah, one day we go through these 4 pages in private.